Okay, we're being recorded. So don't say anything you don't want to be listened to by someone else. It's not going to be out in the public domain, but you never know. I can't guarantee what the internet does with some of the stuff that we do. Okay, so hello everybody, this is Taya. I'm very happy to be able to talk with all of you this afternoon and kind of get to know you a little bit better. I thought that the first thing we'd do is have some introductions. So everybody has a chance to say hello and tell the group, you know, who you are, what you're doing, and where you are in the process in terms of the class and figuring out your branding and so forth. Take about 2 minutes, and if you get going too long, I'll cut you off. But it's kind of hard because we can't see each other, so I'm just going to call on you, and after I call on you, you can go ahead and introduce yourself. So let's start with Sarah, since you were on the call probably one of the first ones. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Sarah, and I really haven't done anything with the assignments. I think I did the introduction and was working on that, and then I got called off. I homeschool my youngest son, so I get called off quite often during the day. And as far as branding, I don't really have a business. I do have a hobby. I crochet, and my online presence was branded almost accidentally when I signed up for a blog, and I needed a username, so I chose Mom with a Hook because I'm mom and I crochet. So for the last, since 2007, that's what I've been known as. So everything online is with
that's
me.
Pretty cool, Mom with
crochet.
A Hook.
Yeah.
Now, you said you blog, and
yeah.
That's exactly how I met you. You
yeah.
were the person who did some nominating, right, for the branding
award?
Yes, I award.
Did. I nominated a couple of the bloggers I admire. And,
very
and
cool.
Yeah, I won your contest.
And since how long have you been blogging?
Since 2007.
Okay. And have you monetized your blog at all? Are you doing any advertising?
I am just now starting. I played around with it last year with Google Ads. This year I'm actually creating an ebook, and eventually once the traffic is there, I'm going to offer sponsorships and things like that. So
good. Well, you do have a business then. You just
yeah.
haven't fully blossomed into your into your business.
Yeah.
So good. Well, welcome, Sarah. I'm very happy to have you.
Well, thank you.
And let's see. Jamie, you are next.
Yes, thank you, Taya, for having this class. And like Sarah, I'm just getting my feet wet with the course and haven't really done much coursework. But I'm excited to be here. I'm a financial advisor and doing some advertising. The person that I placed an ad with, I guess, knew of Taya's site, and I was completely impressed by it. And I'm really interested in this offering because I want to be succinct and to the point and as impressive as Taya's Word Chef concept is. So I'm looking forward to put my head down and learning from everybody, and hopefully I'll have something that you can learn from me as well.
Yay. Well, welcome, Jamie. Now, I want to throw out to the whole group, because I did make this offer for Jamie, that he sent me some current marketing materials that he's utilizing, and I'm going to be providing him some feedback on that based on the work that he does in this class. So once we figure out what his secret sauce is, once he figures out what his secret sauce is and how he wants to express that, I'm going to give him some feedback on how he's utilizing that in his current marketing. So if you have current marketing at all and you want me to give you some feedback on it, even if it's just your website or your blog, send me an email and either attach the items or, you know, include a link, okay? And I will be happy to take a look at those. But we do need to get you through at least the first 3 to 4 weeks before I can really have a good eyeball on your stuff and know what your purpose is in terms of message, okay? So, good. Well, welcome, Jamie, and I think the person who's next is Lena.
Yes, my name is Lena Merling, and I actually try to do two businesses at the same time. It's kind of crazy. I am a real estate agent, but I also have an alpaca business. And what I'm focusing on right now is my alpaca business to get better on defining
okay, now for,
what
for
I am.
For folks who didn't quite understand that, she said alpaca. We're talking about
an
alpaca farm, right? Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to be marketing and who I am, because I actually started with Thea's other class that did the test kitchen, and I realized rather quickly that was way over my head. I couldn't really do the things I had to do. That's what I started with the secret sauce. Try to figure the ground.
Yeah, it's
first
really hard
out.
To market yourself if you're not clear on what your message is, right?
Yes.
Or at least who your audience is. So we'll help you with that. Well, good, Lena. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Okay. Who called in next? I think it was it Rachel?
I was the last one. Is that me?
well,
so hi.
I don't think you were the last one. Go ahead, though.
Oh, okay. So hi, I'm Rachel Rubin. I have been working in e-commerce since 1999, forever doing corporate stuff, and I've been having my own blogs for fun. I have a food blog, and I have a personal blog since 2006 that I go in and out of for hobby purposes. And I haven't really ever tried to monetize them too much any more than playing around with AdWords. But this last year I decided I've started a business. I mean, I don't have a bank account open yet, but I have my website up and a couple other things in place. And I'm going through a lot of different kind of training myself and invested a lot of money in more of the marketing side and figuring out how to create products and things, because I can throw up the website and do the technical stuff, no problem, but I don't have the training in the marketing side. So I've been having a lot of fun with the secret sauce class. I did take another class that kind of walked me through some of the exercises. It was a copywriting class to come up with sales pages, but I still don't have a product, so I'm still not writing any sales page. It's like, this is great because it's taking me all the way back to the beginning. And actually, I'm hoping that by the end of this class, I'll have a little bit more guidance on how I want to make some of my products unique.
Yes.
From naming perspective and things like that. So I'm very excited, and I'm caught up with the class right now. Luckily, I do not know how, because any other class I'm taking, I'm not. But this one I'm just having so much fun with. So.
Well, good.
Thank you.
All right, Rachel. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad to have you too. It's fun to have so many enthusiastic folks. And I think one more person's here that we haven't heard from yet, and that's Nancy.
Yes. Hello, everybody. My name is Nancy Meadows, and I am a holistic interior designer and a coach. And I have had a blog for a little over a year now. I'm on social media, though I'm not utilizing it. Being technical is something that gene I was not given. So that's really been a challenge. I want to start developing product. I really would like to do my whole business online so that I could do it anywhere in the world, anytime. There's still something missing, and I think that's my secret sauce, and that's why I joined your group, Taya, and it is fun. I'm having great fun with the assignments. The last one I'm not quite sure about the hero of my story, but other than that, it's been great, and I'm looking forward to learning from everyone else in the group, too.
Fabulous. Thank you, Nancy. And, you know, that is a really good segue into what I wanted to talk about first, and that is, what challenges have you bumped up against with the work so far? And if it's figuring out who your hero is, then that's definitely something that we need to explore a little further. But I just wanted to get a quick, you know, two or three word input from everybody, take you one at a time. Any challenges that you want to make sure we talk about today?
Well, this is Rachel. I also am on my hero. I feel like I'm the exercises that have led me up to coming with putting my hero together are so all over the place that I'm not clear on where this is going or things. So I have a bunch of things in my head, but nothing tangible.
Okay. Is everybody else kind of in that same?
Well,
yes.
This is Nancy.
Yes.
I went through all of the different archetypes, and as I sent in an email to you and the group, I'm in. There's so many characteristics that from all of the various archetypes. The one that I am totally is the caregiver. And the thought occurred to me that I don't know that I want to be just a caregiver. It's like I've given short shrift maybe to the explorer part of me, and maybe I've suppressed that. But somehow the caregiver and the regular gal, which I also share, sound not so great to me, though I've been that forever.
Those are really good points. I think what's important to remember is that this process is not a cut and dried path to figuring out what your secret sauce is. You're going to take a couple of steps forward and have some clarity, and then the next exercise will probably have you spinning around a little bit. So my best recommendation is that anytime you see a whole multitude of choices that you can't really figure out, you know, which ones to narrow it down to, are to use the process that you used in the very first exercise, and that is to compare things two at a time. So if you were to take the caregiver archetype and the regular gal archetype and put them side by side, Nancy, which one really stands out for you as the one that fits you best?
The caregiver.
Okay. So you keep the caregiver, and then you take the caregiver and you put her up against the next one, and so forth. And what I also want everyone to know is that you will have multiple, I mean, you're multifaceted people. You're human beings, and so you're going to have a lot of different strengths in different areas, for sure. And I don't want to have anyone under the false pretense that you are going to pick one archetype or two archetypes and that's going to be it, you know, just cut and dried. There's nothing else that fits. But we do have to narrow down the focus a little bit. And so what I would like you to do is to pick the best archetype that fits who you currently are, and then pick the best archetype for who you want your brand personality to be, to portray. So that's going to tell you whether or not you're in alignment with yourself. If you say, okay, I'm currently the caregiver, but I really want to be the teacher, or the philosopher or sage, that's okay because those are kind of in alignment. You can still be a very giving, caring teacher. But if you were to say, I'm the caregiver, but I want to be the leader, the leader doesn't usually be the caregiver. I mean, that's almost like a total opposite of what's going on. In order to figure out how to meld those two together, we have to first figure out what they are. So that's what I would like all of you to do, is to figure out those two, you know, the two top archetypes, one for who you are now and one for who you'd really like your business to be seen as. And I'm going to go ahead and add that into the week 2 assignments so you won't forget. And then you can share with the group once we get there. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think so. It's still not totally clear to me because the reason that I feel stuck is that while I'm all of the things that the caregiver is, there are also some other ones that are just as deeply embedded,
mm-hmm.
that are from other archetypes.
So that's where you have to do. You have to compare them side by side. And if you do have, if you have two archetypes side by side, and you still can't figure out which one is more dominant,
mm-hmm.
then you can't go any further than that. You're going to have to keep them as a tie. And if we get to that point, then we'll figure out ways to do tiebreakers. But try really hard to compare them two at a time with each other and figure out which one is more dominant.
Well, that's the caregiver, so I have no doubts about that.
Okay. So now you need to look at what you would really like your business to be.
Okay.
Okay. And that brings me to my next point, which is your business has its own brand and personality, which definitely comes from you, but is not the same as you. Okay? And online personalities, especially if you are a service provider, so those of you who do a service for a living and not selling a product, you would have a personality for your business. Sometimes we call that a persona, and a lot of times the public will get a public persona mixed up with a private persona. So, you know, we're very familiar with movie stars and other kinds of famous people and what those personas are. And when we see what the real person is like behind the scenes, sometimes we're disappointed because it's not really the same. You know, the person who's on stage, the person who is presented to the public, or the personality that is presented to the public is usually bigger and better and brighter than the real thing behind the scenes, right? But that doesn't necessarily make it better. What we need to do is we need to figure out which bits of you're going to put forth to the public and make bigger and brighter. So you're going to kind of exaggerate, like you would in a caricature, exaggerate your good parts and maybe even some of your quirky parts, right? Because we want to create something that fascinates people enough to where they say, I need some of that. I want to connect with that person or that business and buy what they have to offer. And that's the whole point, is to be able to create something that is so enticingly unique and interesting that we can't help it. Okay, so in terms of public and private kinds of things, does anybody have any concerns about that? Because I know...
Well, Kaya, to be authentic, aren't you supposed to blend the two?
Yes, and that's why I want you to be authentic with bringing out your best parts, right? I don't want you to make something up that's totally not you. That's not what we're about here. But I also want you to understand that your business's brand or your business's personality is going to be a little bit more exaggerated than maybe who you are at home when you're sitting around with your friends.
So, Taya, this is Rachel. They're the top two, when I think of them, like when I pick the top one for myself and the top one for my business, actually they're both my two top ones anyways.
Oh, good.
So, I mean, that's okay then? Like, that's fine?
Absolutely. I mean, the challenge is sometimes we look at these and we go, like Nancy said, I'm not sure I want to be the caregiver anymore, right? So if you are in that place in your life where you're realizing, this is who I've been all this time, and this is the pattern that I usually fall into, which could be good or bad or indifferent, and you don't want to do that anymore, then you can make a conscious choice to change that and be different. But if that's not the case, if everything is in alignment and it feels good and it feels solid, then stick with that. Yeah?
Yep, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so week 3 of the class is coming up, and what we're going to be focusing on this week after today, the next 7 days, is writing your story. And one of the things that people often take for granted is that branding is really just about, you know, the surface stuff, like your logo and your tagline and maybe how you dress up your website. And that is totally not true. You guys have gotten this far. I think you realize now that you're going to be bringing out some deeper aspects into your marketing. The brand is really the story, right? I mean, it's the story that your audience understands. When they see your logo in their minds, they will have the Reader's Digest version of your story. They will immediately recall that. I mean, this is the best case scenario, right? So they see your logo, they remember who you are, they identify with that, and they go, yes, that's a story that I enjoy, that I want to hear more of, I want to be involved in it. And that's what we're ultimately trying to get to, is the story of your brand. Okay, so every time you get involved in a really good story, there are a couple of things that you can count on. One is that there's going to be a hero of the story, and that hero is going to go on a hero's journey. And the other thing is that there will be an anti-hero or a nemesis or an arch enemy or something that the hero has to overcome, right? So in terms of your brand and your story, the best place to start with that is the story of how you came to be doing what you're doing, or how you came to create the business that you've created, and why you're doing that. And that's why we looked at your why. So before we move forward on that, I just want to make sure that everybody feels really clear and solid about their why they're doing what they're doing. And if you're not, then this is the time when we can kind of help coach you through all of that.
I'm
Does
not
anybody
really
want to raise
clear.
Their hand?
Me, this is Rachel. I'm not
yes.
that clear. I mean, I know why, but I don't feel like I really know why.
Okay, well, why don't you remind everybody what you do and what you've
oh,
come up
so
with
for
so
this,
far.
Yep, so the purpose of my business is to do social media coaching and training, specifically like online video training, and my target market is for, I call them conscious entrepreneurs, so maybe like life coaches or people with socially or spiritually conscious businesses is who I'm targeting. My why is kind of like I feel that I know how to do some things technically that they don't seem to be doing very well, just handfuls of ones that I've been looking into and things. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, these people could be so much better sharing their message out in the world if they were being more active or handling their social media or having a blog or, you know, doing things better. So my goal is to help them get their business more up with the times on the internet and social media and things like that. So the why really for me truly isn't necessarily even monetary. It's really like I feel like I have kind of a knowledge of something that I want to be able to share with people. And obviously, if I could make money doing it too, then that's good. So I'm trying to be smart about it.
Yes, you can make money on this.
Right. So,
okay, and what part of it is not feeling clear to you yet?
Well, I don't know. I guess when I was answering all the questions and it's like, what keeps you up at, like, I don't know, just all the things, it was like, I don't know, it feels kind of sappy to say, or like it feels kind of elitist to say, oh, I'm just doing it because I want to help people. Because that's not all true. Like, I want to get a second, you know, set of income set up for myself and things like that and do what I like to do.
Right.
But that really is my why. So it feels kind of flaky. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. I mean, I think you and I, Rachel, have a lot in common in the sense that we both kind of have the same why. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you an example, my why is really about helping people reach their full potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, for some reason, have this thing about me reaching my own full potential.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and that's why,
right?
I think. Yeah.
Okay. And so one of the things that happens when you're that kind of person is you tend to be very explorative, and you love school. Do you remember the first day of school?
I think so. For like, some classes, yeah.
for me, when I was a kid, the first day of school was like the best day of the year.
Oh yeah, like
so
every year
excited.
When we were growing up. Yeah, I thought you meant the first day ever, and I was like, no, I was kind of young. I don't really remember.
No. I meant like every year.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The excitement of starting something new, of learning something new, of meeting new people, and all of that whole thing, that whole experience was something that I really, really enjoyed. And for me, my dad was a teacher. I found myself in the teaching role in so many different jobs throughout my life. So my life path has really been about me helping myself figure out who I am and where I want to go, but then just kind of being the advisor for all of my friends and family. So people would come to me and say, you know, I see you're doing this, and what should I do? And so then you become the teacher and the advisor, and then you realize, oh, I kind of like that, and this is what I want to do more of. And it's okay for that to be your why.
Okay.
You know, that's the thing that makes you tick.
I guess I just needed someone to say that's okay.
You have my permission.
Kind of, yeah, it's kind of flaky and self-serving. Like, well, I know some stuff and I want to help other people. So yeah, my why is definitely not to make six figures or anything. Of course, would that be great? Yes. Would I turn that away? No. But that's not a driving force for me.
Well, and, you know, most of the time I'm going to say to everybody that if making money is your number one why, then you're probably not in touch with the real reason why you're doing what you're doing. Because once you achieve that, then what? Right? It's like that, because that goal can be achieved. And then you're going to be stuck with, okay, now what do I do? Because I don't know what to do next. And I think, Lena, you also said that you are one of those kind of people who like to learn everything.
Exactly.
Now, why is that you are
doing really well? Because I'm always searching for the next thing to learn.
And why do you think that is?
I'm too curious. I want to put my nose into everything.
Is it the experience of learning something new that you really enjoy? What do you do with the knowledge once you have it?
It depends. Sometimes I say, well, that wasn't worth my time. But, no, I'm using it. I just enjoy having the knowledge that I know a little about everything.
Uh-huh. So you're kind of a Renaissance person?
Probably.
In the sense that you know a little bit about everything?
Yeah.
Right? And not a specialist?
No, I never stay to be really, really, really good at, except like my knitting, because that I've been doing for a very long time.
Okay, so if we bring it back to the alpacas and the farm that you have going, how many alpacas do you have?
Right now I have 21, and I'm waiting for a new one to be born.
What? So I would say that definitely qualifies as a farm.
Yeah.
What made you want to work with alpacas? How did you start that?
I actually visited a ranch on an open ranch day, and I looked at them and said, wow, that's some natural fiber walking around, because when I arrived here in the U.S., I can only find the man-made stuff, the acrylics and whatever, in yarn, and I didn't like it.
Okay, so you started as a knitter who was
yeah.
looking for some natural fibers.
Mm-hmm.
And then that led you to visit a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And you see where this is going, right? This is the background story.
Yeah.
And this is what you guys are going to be working on this week, is how did you come to be where you are? What was the path that you took? And you've already kind of outlined that a little bit through weeks 1 and 2, where, you know, I had you look at your life path in 5-year chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you may not need to go all the way back to year 0. Maybe it's just from your adulthood, but maybe not. I mean, it depends. It could have been something, a passion that you have kind of nurtured a little bit ever since you were a kid. I don't know. So that's what we're going to be working on this week, is your background story. And we'll start with a, you know, we're not going to get too fancy right off the bat, but we're going to start with kind of sketching out that background story and then bringing in the elements of storytelling. So who's the hero? You are. You guys are the hero of your stories. And I will kind of outline for you the different elements that you need to look for. So if we talk about the hero's journey, has since I have so many learners here. Have any of you heard of the hero's journey before and how that structure goes?
No. I haven't.
No?
No.
No.
Okay. So if you think about it in terms of like the last best movie that you saw, there's three basic parts to the hero's journey. There is the call to adventure. So that's the point in the person's life where they're first given the notice that everything is going to change for them, and they may usually resist it. So they'll be given this call to adventure, and they usually say, nope, that's not for me. I don't have time for this. I can't do it. It's not something that I'm ready for. There's some kind of fear or insecurity or maybe a sense of duty to something else. And then they're going to be kind of persuaded in some fashion to commit to this call to adventure, to this quest. And so it does become a quest. And sometimes there is a guide or a magical helper who comes and helps that person get through what they need to get through. They're going to cross over a threshold where, you know, this is the feel of adventure. There's a whole bunch of unknowns that they have to figure out. Some of them can be dangerous. Some of them could be either physically or emotionally dangerous. And they get separated from the world that they know. Okay? Usually we might look at this as the lowest point or the bottom of the barrel, or it's really a point of transition between the two different worlds that they were going through. Now, in my case, I'm going to give you, because I have done this already in my head a bazillion times, I can tell you about my call to adventure, okay? In this realm of the class, the call to adventure is your business, or your sense of whatever it is you're doing. So, Sarah, for you, your call to adventure is your blog, okay? And I think everybody else is kind of already working towards a business, so we'll be okay there. for me, when I was called to the adventure of being a small business owner, it was through a family emergency. So I had a family emergency. I couldn't stay in the position that I was in and help my family at the same time. I had to move. I had to give up a six-figure position with a national nonprofit and move and figure out a way to support myself and help my family at the same time. Okay, so that was the call. I wasn't really ready to be a small business owner. I tried everything I could to figure out how to get a job to support myself so that I wouldn't, you know, have that problem. But then I realized eventually that that was going to be the best solution for me. Okay, I got help from a woman's group in my new community who taught me some really great things about running a small business. Even though I had been in a top management position at a national organization and I had been managing millions of dollars in a budget, I knew nothing about running a small business. Those are two totally different things. So I was in this realm of, you know, danger and fear and how am I going to do this and trying to figure it all out. And I got to that point where I felt like there was really no turning back. Right? There were trials, there were tests. One of the biggest tests that I had, you know, the second part of the journey for the hero is the initiation part. And that's where they really get tested, right? There's these big things that happen to them. One of the first things that happened to me was I rented an office and made the mistake of renting an office on a month-to-month basis. Instead of having a set, like a lease for 2 years or more. And after 2 months of being in that office, the people who owned the building decided to sell the building, and the new owners decided that they were going to change the building into offices that, what do you call this, executive suites. So you know, the rent was going to be basically tripled. And there was no way I could afford that. And I had already ordered all of my business cards and all of my marketing materials, and the phone was installed, and, you know, all of the horrible crap that goes with opening an office had already been done. And I was literally, like, ready to tear my hair out. But I got through it. Okay, so it was all about how I got through that. And then the next test was, you know, a client who left town without paying their bill, which is around $20,000. So you kind of go through your initiation, and you get to a point where you may give up your power and move to a different place. And for me, I went back to the safety of being an employee for a little bit, because I felt at that point that being a small business owner wasn't for me. The economy was down. Things were not looking good. And then I realized that this was not who I was anymore, that I loved being a small business owner, that I really did want to do it on my own. So, you know, you're going through these tests and trials, and these are some of the things that you need to outline of how you got to where you are. And how you decide ultimately to, you know, what is the thing that you learned from all of that? And that's your secret sauce. That's your magic that you have to help and give to other people. Now, yours, you know, your hero's journey may or may not be as, you know, dramatic as mine. It could be more dramatic. It could be less dramatic. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you have all of the elements there, okay? So we're going to be working on that this week. And then we're going to be identifying who your nemesis is. What is it that you are fighting against in terms of you're helping your clients overcome something, right? You're helping your fellow moms who crochet do something. I mean, there's the whole reason that we are in business is to help others in a particular way, to help them solve a particular problem or help them fulfill a desire. And that's what we want to get to. So are there any questions so far? I mean, I just gave you like the brief outline of what you're going to be working on next week. Is anybody scared or excited? Any kind of reactions?
Taya, what were the three parts to the story? One was the call to adventure, and two was the initiation part.
Okay, so you have the departure, which encompasses the call to adventure. You have the initiation, which is where the road of trials are.
Right.
And then you have the return.
Oh,
so
okay.
So once you figure it out, you come back and you say, okay, here, I have the magic now. And when you watch a movie or read a story of fiction, you will see all these different elements once you learn them. And you'll begin to see how you might be able to build a better story based on those different elements. Those are the things that really capture our attention. Those are the reasons why we like to watch movies and read books, because we love stories. Stories teach us things. And when you have a really fascinating story to tell, whether that's the story of how you got to where you are or how you help people overcome whatever it is they're working on or whatever, then you're going to be able to capture more people's attention who will then come to you and want to work with you. And that's what we're going to work on.
Hey, okay. If you're brand new, do you always have like the big test in the return part of the story? Because I'll be thinking through it this week, but I'm kind of thinking like, well, I know why I want to do this, but I know how I got where I am, but that doesn't have anything to do with the story of the business because the business is so new. Do you know
right.
That's like my personal story?
That's a really good question,
shady
and
guys
I would say,
and, you know, whatever.
I would say in some sense, yes, because the whole reason that you're starting this business is because you feel like you have something to give to other people, right? You feel like you have some kind of magic or some kind of something to share with the world, even if you're just beginning. Huh?
I said, yep, I'll be thinking on it this week.
Good. Anybody else have a question about that? About the hero's journey? Okay, so I also want you to be thinking about who or what your nemesis is. So we talked a lot about your why and what your strengths are and what you're bringing to the world. But what are the challenges that you are specifically gifted with overcoming and helping other people overcome, or what specific desires are you really good at helping people fulfill? Okay, so be thinking about that as well.
How is that a nemesis, Taya? I don't. It seems like the nemesis would be the part of oneself that keeps them from being the hero that they're supposed to be.
It could be. It depends on your business, and it depends on what you're bringing out. Sometimes the nemesis is a part of you, but usually you have gotten to the point where you feel somewhat confident enough that you have overcome it, and you can show other people how to overcome it as well.
Okay.
Right. So let's say, for instance, as a coach, Nancy,
mm-hmm.
What is it that you help people overcome?
I guess I would say fear and uncertainty in regards to design.
Okay. So your nemesis is the What's the opposite of confidence? I can't think of the word right now. that's who your nemesis is.
Not confident.
Is the opposite of confidence. Some feeling insecure.
Yeah.
So you're helping people conquer their lack of confidence in themselves. Right?
Yes.
So that's your nemesis. But play with it a little more. I mean,
Yeah. It
might be more than that. It might be a little hairier or scarier or not.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But you get the idea.
I do.
Okay. And Sarah, for you, what things are you blogging about besides crocheting?
Currently, I'm blogging about how to, start a crochet blog for mostly people with shops of their own, people who are trying to sell their items that they crochet.
And what do you see as the biggest challenge for people in putting those things together?
A lot of the people I come into contact with have a fear, fear of technology. And so I was setting up blogs for beginners and setting up also shops for beginners, how to set up a shopping cart.
Okay, so you're kind of similar to Nancy in the sense that your nemesis is a fear or an insecurity
mm-hmm.
about something.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the same for Rachel.
Yep. And time. I have time, too. Like a lot of times people don't have, say they don't have time
mm-hmm.
or time's a problem.
Right. Lack of time is a challenge. For sure. Jamie, how about you? Are you still there, Jamie?
Sure, I am. Can you hear me?
What do you see as your nemesis?
It's just typically, you know, your greatest strength becomes your greatest weakness. You know, I guess being able to analyze something or, find the problem and then sort of knowing the solution, but then sort of staying with it and still doing more analysis, that type of thing. So where you have your greatest strength becomes, trips you up in the end. So.
Well, what would you say you help your customers do best?
You know, understand where they are at a particular junction in their financial life, and then sort of have them get a sense of where they want to go, and then from there.
So you're helping people overcome like a lack of purpose or clarity about their situation.
Well, yeah, and this particularly is around financial, you know, their financial life. So, and then once they sort of understand where they're at and where they want to be, then coming up with a plan to get there or to deal with the realities of it's not obtainable, so what's the next best thing? Or how
do you think keeps them from figuring out where they are on their own?
Maybe for them, maybe a lack of understanding, of what it takes or what products they can leverage to get there or what strategies they could use.
So when the people come to you, they're not feeling afraid about their financial future?
It just depends. Some think they have it all in hand when they really don't.
Uh-huh.
So they're not feeling afraid. But then when you start explaining to them the amount of money that they need to live probably closer to 100 because we're living longer, job markets tend to be not as stable. And so how do you deal with all the risk associated with that? You know, they end up not feeling as comfortable as they were, say, when they started.
Okay, so there's probably some more exploration that you need to do around that, because it's not going to be the same for every customer, and that's a really good thing to think about. Your ideal customers you might have maybe three different ideal customers, or you might have just one. It's really a good idea to create that ideal customer profile, and that was one of the exercises I believe I had for you. So definitely start, you know, make sure you get in there this week, Jamie, and flesh that out a little bit more. Okay.
Okay.
Now, for those of you who have been in using Rizuku, have there been any technological issues that we need to talk about? Because this is a new platform for me, and I want to make sure that it's working okay for everybody.
I think it's gone very smoothly.
Yeah, I like it.
Good. Okay, good. Because I do too, but you never know unless you ask. Sometimes people don't say anything. And if something comes up where you get confused or it doesn't work properly, please let me know so that I can rectify that immediately. Okay, the other little bit that we need to talk about is your one-on-ones. So each of you has a 20-minute consult with me coming up. And what I will do is pick one day of the week where you can pick your best time. So let's talk about what days of the week don't work for people. Is everybody pretty flexible, or is there anybody that has a particular day of the week that does not work?
Tuesday is not a good day for me.
Tuesday is not a good day.
No.
Okay.
And Wednesday is not a good day for me. This is Sarah.
Sorry?
Wednesday is not good.
Wednesday is not a good day either?
Right.
Okay. So would Friday work for everybody?
For me, this is Rachel. It just depends week for week what my
mm-hmm.
schedule is.
Mm-hmm.
So if I knew which Friday, I'd be able to tell you. This Friday, I know it's not good. But next Friday.
No, we won't do it this Friday because it's too soon. Probably it would be next week or the week after that.
Yeah, if I can get it booked then I'm in advance, and I'm pretty flexible.
Okay. Well, I'll check in with Margo. I think she was not good on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I'm already teaching a class on Monday, so that means Friday is pretty much the only day left of the week. So be thinking about how you would like to spend your time with me one-on-one. If it's a particular issue that you want to talk through, or if there's maybe two or three quick questions we can tackle together, it's totally up to you. So this is your time. You can use it however you want. Okay?
Okay.
And with that, I am going to let you all go, unless you have any other questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.